Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B. In his second letter, Paul tells the Corinthians not to lose heart. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus tells the crowd gathered around him, they are his brothers and sisters. We're telling you, we have plenty of multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects for your consideration. So join us.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary. They use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started. So, David, what's coming up?
Well, as it happens, I've got a sabbatical coming up, Molly. I've got 3 months of paid leave, which is pretty awesome. I've been at the church for 14 years, and this is my second sabbatical here. And be glad to tell everybody all about it, but not tonight. We just wanted to let you know that that's coming up and that it will probably have some effect on the show.
How will it affect the show, do you think?
Well, I think because I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling, we're probably going to have, we may have some interruptions, but what we're going to try to do is maybe limit the number of texts that we're working with each week. And you've already noticed perhaps that we've gone from 3 to 2 lately as we're...
That's just kind of sort of been because of the texts that are available.
Well, there's some of that. And we haven't really decided whether we want to do the semi-continuous Old Testament or the thematic Old Testament. So we're just not doing either of them. So sorry.
Boot.
Yeah. So what we might end up doing then is doing one text a week, and we're going to try and backlog a bunch of shows up front so that while I'm traveling, that we'll be able still to publish. So we won't leave you bereft.
No, but we are still going to be doing the show. It's just going to be a little leaner.
It'll be a little lean for a season there. But, you know, it's over summer, so... So, you know, your audience may be a little leaner, too. So
That.
I don't know. Anyway, if you have some ideas or thoughts about how you think we ought to handle this, then by all means, drop us a note or stop over at our Facebook page and leave us a message there. But that's what we got going on. And we'll be talking about more of that as we get closer in the next couple of weeks.
That's right.
All right. So let's get to work, shall we?
Okie dokie.
The epistle lesson for Year B, Ordinary 10, also Proper 5 and Pentecost plus 3, is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. This is an encouragement from Paul, and it's throughout the letter he's trying to do a number of things. There's correcting and reestablishing his authority and trying to reconnect with them in healthy ways because there's been a little fallout. And so this is some of the reconnecting part, I think. So it starts off, you know, we have the same spirit and I believed and so I spoke. We believe and so we speak. So we are going to be with Christ. The one who raised Christ will raise us. And so we don't lose heart. And even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. And it continues along those lines then. So if this earthly tent in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have the building from God, eternal in the heavens. So, So let's see what we've got. Okay, so we've got a bunch of stuff for you here. We have Word Smart special effect, iSmart illustration and special. Both in all the rest of these, iSmart, Music Smart, Body Smart, and Nature Smart. So let's find out what's going on in Word Smart.
Well, we're looking at verse 13, where Paul says, I believed and so I spoke. So as a special effect, use words. Invite several members, or maybe even everybody, to say one sentence about something they believe. It doesn't necessarily have to be churchy. They just have to believe it. Mm. So spend a little time, give them a chance to think about something. What do you believe in? One sentence. Say it.
There you go. Okay, for iSmart, verse 1, chapter 5, where it says about the earthly tent, for an illustration, when you were a kid, did you ever make a fort or a tent out of blankets? Did you ever do that?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
We always did it at my grandmother's house.
Used to try to scare the dog. She'd walk by, boo!
Yeah.
Row!
Yeah, or, you know, fun to do to adults, too. So it's fun. It's a secret place. It's a safe place, or it feels like a safe place, a very different space, being able to play out of sight like that. And there's
it also
a
figures fairly prominently in The Sixth Sense, too, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Cole in his red blanket tent.
Yeah.
Sorry, just happened to think of that.
Right. Well, so there's a sense of power in that refuge. You feel kind of, you know, like all that when you're in there, and you know, Superman in the Fortress of Solitude or something. I don't know. But in reality, it's a remarkably temporary shelter and pretty shaky. Mm-hmm. You know, being held up by pillows or chairs,
big heavy books or clothespins and if your mom needs the clothespins, there goes your fort.
Sorry. Yep. So it really provides pretty shaky security compared to, say, your actual house. Right, and so it is with our earthly tent and the eternal home in the heavens. So there you go. That's iSmart because of the spatial visualization that you're doing there. For special effect, why not build a blanket fort right there in the chancel? You know, you can.
It could be fun.
Yeah, it could.
Do the children's sermon from there.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, there you go. Set up between the pulpit and the communion table or something. Oh, that, no. No, there would be somebody that would not be happy, I'm sure. Well, you know your people. If you can get away with it, do it. But, you know, anyway, somewhere set up a blanket fort. And then, you know, when you get to that part about thinking about that tent coming down, you could very simply knock it over.
Yep. Sticking with the tent image for Body Smart, one of the commentaries that I read for this particular passage comes from the Center for Excellence in Preaching. Scott Hosey, one of the commentators there, has this, and I'm just going to quote what he wrote. My outward tent is wasting away, Paul writes, seemingly without complaint. The fabric is torn, rain gets in, the more vibrant color of the original tent fabric long ago faded away to now some dull gray, pale-looking thing. I've lost half my tent pegs and two of the supporting cord ropes are frayed to almost nothing. One strong gust of wind could knock this old tent down to a flattened mess. To which I say, you've been living in my house? So it's an illustration of the body it's an interesting way of looking at the aging process, yeah. Especially those frayed ropes.
Yeah.
Feel those when I get up in the morning. Mm. So there's an illustration for you for Body Smart. For a special effect, ask your folks, what kind of domicile or tent, what kind of domicile, first of all, just sort of a building, would describe your body? Would it be a house, a townhouse, a mansion, a dorm room? I always said that I had a particular friend that her house always reminded me of her because it was warm and it was spread out and very expansive and welcoming, and mine was tall and vertical and covered in dog hair. Or if not a domicile, what kind of a tent? A pup tent, a dining fly, a circus tent? And we have a link to a variety of different kinds of tents from a camping and caravanning website. Moving on to Music Smart, we're looking at verse 14, which says, if I can find it here, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. There's kind of a triad building there. You could also take each of those things and turn it into like a canon with three parts, each played as independent tunes, but when they're played together, they create a single interlaced harmonic melody. So if you're familiar with Jim Strathdee's What Does the Lord Require of You, that's a good illustration of that. It's got the three different parts. It's based on Micah 6. We have a link to a recording of that, so you can bop over there and take a look if you don't know it. So that's an illustration. Special effect, teach the song, What Does the Lord Require of You, if nobody knows it, to kind of give an example of it. Or if you want to, take the words from this particular verse and set them to a tune like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, which can be sung in a round. So you could actually do it that way.
Cool. For Nature Smart, looking at verse 16, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed. I got the idea of an onion.
Gee, why'd you get that idea?
Found one just the other day down there in the cabinet, and is starting to waste away on the outside, but you know, starting to grow up a bit of green up
the
middle.
Inside.
So, and also found some garlic that was doing similar sort of thing the other day. So I had that green shoot coming out of it. It's been in the fridge a while. That's an illustration. For special effect, you could bring in such a thing if you happen to hit it just right that you have one. You could
if
show
not,
it off.
Call us. We'll bring ours.
Yeah, we always have
an onion that's sprouting and grossing.
Then for verse 18, which is, we look not at the things that can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is not seen is eternal. So matter, as we have come to understand it, is made up of atoms, and the atoms are made up of protons and neutrons and electrons. And then those are made up of quarks and leptons of various sorts. And who knows what those are made of? They're working to figure out what those things are made of from there.
So getting smaller and smaller,
smaller
and smaller.
Smaller and smaller. And yet, you know, the things that are made from these atoms are perhaps temporary, like that plastic bottle of water, or the board in your fence, or, you know, whatever. But those subatomic particles just keep going on and on. We can't see them, but there they are, and they continue. And they may be transformed and reorganized into other stuff.
Else. Sure, like a board rotting in the yard that becomes dirt and then becomes plants.
Right.
Right. Or nourishes plants.
Right. Or something more dramatic, you know, like a star blowing up. You know, it goes from just hydrogen and, you know, or helium and iron and carbon and all that sort of thing. And when it blows up, then you get gold and platinum and titanium and other things like that. But the subatomic particles, the quarks and leptons, they're all just the same. They're just reorganized into other stuff.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah. So we put that in nature because, you know, it's stuff of nature. Mm-hmm. But it's also math because of the science elements, and mm-hmm. we put science in math. And as people are imagining that scale, then they're using their spatial relationships, which is iSmart. So all kinds of stuff there.
Cool. All right, let's go on. The gospel lesson for year B, ordinary 10, or proper 5, Pentecost plus 3, is Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. We've taken a little bit of a skip from where we were last week. We've jumped over a few verses, but that's okay. We've gone to the point in Mark's story about Jesus where crowds have come together again and have come to the home where Jesus is, and there are so many people there that you can't even lift your hand to your mouth to feed yourself. If you just imagine that many people in a room. Makes me claustrophobic thinking about it. But anyway, his family heard that he was around and heard what had been going on. So they came to get him, to restrain him, because people were saying he's out of his mind. And so, of course, that's what you do when you hear that someone in your family is out of their mind. You try to get them help. So you can't really fault them.
Or at least you go to see what's going on.
Yeah, right.
It's like you get there and it's like, oh, we do that all the time. What are you talking about?
But the scribes have come down from Jerusalem, and they have a more serious charge, not that he's out of his mind, but that he is possessed by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons, who is casting out demons. And Jesus hears that one and says, really? I don't think so. How's that possible? So he gives a little bit of a parable about his power versus Satan's power, and then talks about the unpardonable sin. Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later on in when we get down to self-smart. And then does the very shocking thing of saying that telling the people who were telling him that his mother and brother and sisters are outside asking about him, he brushes them off and says, the people here, the ones who are so pressed up against me that I can't even eat, these are my brothers and sisters. And it's rather a shock for that particular culture. Anyway, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the intelligences that we're going to look at. We have illustration and special effect for word smart, illustration of math smart, illustration of body smart, illustration of music smart, both in people and an illustration in self. So let's get to it.
Okay. So for WordSmart, we have a link to a book by Ched Myers, and it's called Binding the Strong Man, a political reading of Mark's story of Jesus. So this is in WordSmart because it's a book and you have to read a lot of words, but it's also it's a biblical criticism. And he brings according to the website, a multidisciplinary approach called socio-literary method. So looking at the socio-historical context and the political hermeneutics and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So it came out in 1988, so it's been around for a while, but it's considered a classic. And
pretty definitive.
Yeah, so pick that up if you have a chance. Then for special effect, we have, and this is, again, maybe a little bit more for the preacher than actually the sermon deliverables, mm-hmm. is it? So, our old buddies over at Lectionary Lab Live, even though they've gone off the air, their material is still up there. And so we've got a link to their episode that covers this text. And about 23 minutes into the podcast there, they get to the gospel and talk about some very cool things here that you'll perhaps want to make a use of. So,
particularly the names of the demons in Hebrew mythology.
Right. So. Yes. So, and again, that's the word smart because meanings of names. Mm-hmm.
Heading on to Math Smart, Jesus responds to the charge that he is Beelzebul and the casting out demons by the father of demons by saying, "Are you nuts? This is just not possible." And responds by saying, "A house divided cannot stand," which apparently Abraham Lincoln quoted in his very famous Lincoln-Douglas debates. So it got me to thinking, what can you not divide? I mean, you know from your own experiences of learning division that sometimes when you divide things, you have a remainder or you wind up with fractions or decimals. So there's a little bit left over. But there is one particular division that you cannot do in math. You cannot divide by zero. So we have a link to a video that talks about why you can't divide by zero. It really gets into it fairly, I was able to follow along mostly because it's done with a cartoon. Kind of that old Schoolhouse Rock sort of thing, but not that. I mean, just kind of that sort of visual learning kind of thing. So this is a little bit of iSmart too. But it talks about why you can't really logically say you can divide by zero, because there's just no mathematical formula to get it to work. They try with something called I, but
no,
even
I's,
that...
I's different.
Well, even that, you can't squeeze it or smoosh it into saying we've divided by zero. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then of course we have the quote from comic Stephen Wright, who says black holes are where God divided by zero. So there you go.
There you are.
And then for Body Smart, we're looking at the Jesus telling them you have to bind a strong man before you can plunder his house. So that got me to wondering, how strong do you have to be? And what would it take to bind a strong man? I didn't actually find that out, but I did find out, or I did find an article that discussed the pros and cons of different types of strongman, bodybuilders, weightlifters, strongman. There are actually strongman contests. What was the other one? CrossFit trainers. So the different types of strength training and what it does in these particular types of training, what that does to your body. Bodybuilding is look for looks. Strongman is for strength. CrossFit is quick and agile, and the person who writes this particular article says that that's why lots of police officers and army or soldiers are trained in CrossFit, because it kind of covers a lot of things and makes you able to move quickly and get a lot of stamina. So anyway, there's a link to this particular article, and if you read it, watch out. There's some language, so you might want to, if you're going to quote this, you might want to use the PG version.
For Music Smart, the pericope here, I used a seminary word. The passage here is divided into three segments. It starts off with the family, and then it goes to Jesus telling the parables to the scribes, and that goes back to the family. And we've talked about this back when we were doing Mark before Easter. We talked about the sandwich structure that he uses
all the time.
Yeah, so this is a thing for him, and it reminded me in this one of the structure of the Beatles song "Day in the Life" from the Sgt. Pepper's album. And Paul and John were writing the song. Paul McCartney, John Lennon, not the Saints, but. they were working on this song, and they had
George.
Not surprisingly, they had competing ideas of what the song ought to be. So they just put them both into the song. So it starts off with John's rather ethereal sort of stuff, and then it switches over to Paul's, you know, very earthy day to day kind of thing. Got up, got out of bed, you know, that which is just almost everything he writes is that kind of earthy family stuff. And then it switches back then to John's dreaminess at the end. So that's it. Just a comparison of the style and mm-hmm. the structure.
Good. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Going on to PeopleSmart, then, we have all manner of stuff. So in verses 24 to 26 is where Jesus talks about the kingdom divided and the house divided and Satan divided can't stand. There are any number of movies, movie plots and stories about a disparate group of folks brought together, you know, the classic ragtag bunch of misfits who can't get things going because they're divided against each other and they can't do a thing until they get it together and become a team, right? And sports movies are big on this, and military movies are big on this, like Bad News Bears and Top Gun and Stripes, you know. So, doing their army training, sir. And actually, we have a link for you that Ragtag Bunch of Misfits is a TV trope. And there are a list that they have there of different movies and other things that follow that mm-hmm. pattern. Mm-hmm. So we don't really want Satan's kingdom to get together as a team.
No.
But, you know, there it is. Then,
well, also, the ragtag bunch of misfits are the people that are sitting around Jesus' house.
Well, right. So you got that too.
Yeah.
Right. So then we also have a quote for you from Trevor Noah in an article from the New York Times recently where he says, divided people are easier to rule. That was, after all, the whole point of apartheid. So another illustration of the point Jesus is making.
It's a really good article. I would recommend it.
And then finally, the scribes are engaging here in a bit of mudslinging by saying that Jesus has Beelzebul. And so we have a link for you to some parodies of political mudslinging. And this again comes from TV tropes, oddly, but some pretty good examples of particularly campaign attack ads. Mm. So,
yeah, if you hadn't got your fill of that.
Right, yeah.
Coming back around on it again. And
yeah, but these
year.
Are mostly funny or at least good, ironic.
Good. Not just ugly and nasty. That's good. So for a special effect, division of a house divided got me to thinking about a particular parliamentary procedure in Robert Rules of Order called division of the house. So if you bring something to the floor for the body to vote on and you have ayes say aye, nay say nay, and you can't tell the difference by a voice vote as to which way it went, somebody can call for a division of the house.
I call for the division of the house.
And so you pass out papers and pencils and you have, or, well, you can either do it that way or you can just have people stand up and then have people who are trusted as
stewards
go count noses. And if that's going to be too risky, then, you know, you can do the paper and the pencils. But anyway, it's a method for taking a better estimate of a vote than a voice vote. So discuss these questions. Have your folks break up into groups and discuss these questions. When do you think it would be necessary to have a more detailed vote count? Or what type of setting would this be? What might the vote be about? It might be something that's really a hot button issue, and so people really want to know what the vote outcome is. And is this method used to build the body up by making certain it is clear about a decision? Are we really sure this is the way we want to go? Or is something that divides factions even further? Mm. And how do we ensure the former over the latter?
Yeah.
And then moving on to self-smart, there's a lot of ink spilled about the unpardonable sin, about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And David found something by N.T. Wright that we can find the link and we'll put it in the show notes over at our website, www.morethanhearing.org. So you can go over, read the show notes, and of course download the worksheets that are there. But this particular quote from Scott Hosey, again, from the Center for Excellence in Preaching, I just thought, I'm just going to read it because I think it's awesome. He says, the unpardonable sin is morally inverting the world to the point where darkness is light and light darkness. And that is no run-of-the-mill sin. You do not live this way and talk this way and view the world this way due to some little mistake or a momentary lapse of judgment. This is the essence of blasphemy. Blasphemy is at bottom a form of theft. Blasphemers steal holy language and symbols, associate them then with ugly and awful things, and so rob God of the chance to get through to us by his chosen form of revelation.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you liked even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store, and of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.